Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
You know, you might think about taking Jesus Christ as your savior instead of fooling around with all this stuff.
Ah, Jesus.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
I like him very much. He no help curveball.
You trying to say Jesus Christ can't hit a curveball?
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What the hell's going on out here?
Well, Nick's scared because his eyelids are jammed in his old man's hair. We need a live, was there a live rooster? We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
That's all we got? One damn hit?
You can't say damn on here.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
The Fan.
The summer wind came blowing in from across the sea.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Welcome back in. Hope your Thursdays are going well. Enjoying that sunshine. I think we're hitting 90 today.
I made a big mistake.
What was your mistake?
Not waking up and working out in the morning. And saying I was going to do it when I got home. Every time I've looked down at my watch, it's gone from 84 to 87 to 88 to now it says it's going to be 91 at 4 o'clock.
Ooh. Get a little sweat on today.
Now it's down to 90.
See, I mean, that's why they're dirty plums. I mean, that's why. That sums it all up right there. Yeah, I went for a long walk this morning, an old man walk. I was sweating my ass off.
It was, yeah.
It was hot. The sun hits you. I mean, the weather report would say it wasn't that hot. It's hot, man.
Yeah. I feel it. Might have to be a shirtless run day.
Uh-oh.
Watch out, Oregon City.
Put your shades
on. I want to join you guys and do nipple shots off of Gronkowski's torso.
You heard of Carl Malone? They call him the mailman. They call me the pale man. I always deliver.
Speaking of which, so that was from a radio host in Boston, the Gronkowski nipple shots thing. Did you see the host in Philly that lost his ass the other day?
Oh, because he was trying to defend this crazy woman who was calling the cops.
Was it Mike Massanelli, I think is his name?
I think.
He's on like the Fanatic in Philly, and they were debating, great sports radio topic, debating the white lady in Central Park calling the cops on the black guy, saying she was being attacked, and which was it was a video that went viral.
Did you watch that video?
I did, yeah, I did.
The... shut up, don't tell me what to do vibe, and then getting on the phone and acting like you're about to be murdered.
And lying about being attacked.
I mean, you shouldn't just lose your job. There should be jail time involved.
Right. Now she's going on this tour asking for sympathy because she's lost her job and she's lost her dog. It's a Crimea River.
Also, did you see the way she held her dog?
Yeah.
She was
Where do you
strangling
begin
the dog.
So they were debating it on a sports radio show in Philly, and it's one of those that's simulcast on TV. And I think it was a producer, and then he had a gal. There's three of them, and the other two had ganged up on him, calling him an idiot, because he was saying there's nothing illegal about making that up to the cops.
And they were like, telling him legally he was wrong.
She lied to the police about a fake threat.
A false report.
She was never in harm's way, and then they go to commercial break. He, sends it to break right away, and the cameras are still on him, and right as they're going to break, he takes his headphones off, and he chucked them against the wall.
We also told one of the people to F off right as they were coming back off the air. You could clearly read his lips.
I've heard
nothing but horrific things about that guy.
That's not a great sign.
He's one of those egomaniacs. He's been in Philly his whole life. He's had some success, so he thinks he's God
in
the city.
He's vanity license plate, bro.
I thought you were going to ask me if you reminded me of anybody else in the media here. And I was going to say, oh, yes. I know. Yeah, I know somebody.
Know exactly who you're talking about. Let's get to this. I want to know how people would feel about it if something like this were to happen in Oregon. And it should be pointed out, like, there was a report that came out earlier today that made this sound concrete. It is not concrete. So the report that came out earlier today was that the Centralia School Board voted yesterday afternoon, yes, because today's Thursday, to cut all sports programs next year. All sports, all year.
What was the reasoning? Just they didn't think we were going to have sports?
Budget deficit. They have an $11.9 million budget deficit, and that's why they need to do it. It's all about saving money. Correction. How could you get something this wrong? I don't know. But a reporter for the newspaper came out, whatever the
Columbian?
What is it?
Is it?
Like it is the Daily Chronicle.
Is that the Centralia paper?
Serving the greater Lewis County area since 1889.
Okay. Shout out local journalism.
Okay, there you go. Well, you know, and then you can't mess this kind of stuff up. Because then one of the reporters sent out the same article with a correction saying an earlier version of this story indicated that the school board had voted to cut sports and other programs. The school board did not hold a vote Wednesday, but instead discussed the idea of eliminating all sports for next year. So, bad news, better news, still potentially really bad news. They are apparently entertaining the idea of cutting all sports programs for next year. You can't do that.
Well, I mean, you can if you don't have the money. I mean, it's kind of hard to do stuff if you don't have money. Shout out our country for bailing out cruise ships industries who don't put their companies in America. So I'm glad we're giving them hundreds of billions of dollars and helping them when they need it. And schools can't afford to have fall sports.
But not youth sports. Who needs kids playing sports?
Who needs money in education? Nobody. Nobody.
Yeah, this.
I hope this is not the start of a trend and that this can end up maybe going away and they can still do sports. The one thing I took away the most just from the school aspect, I continue to feel really bad for a lot of those seniors who didn't get to play spring sports, who didn't get prom, graduation. And sure, it's high school. You can make fun of that all you want. But that, you know, I had great memories from all that stuff. I enjoyed doing it and they didn't get to do it. And now you kind of wonder for the next senior class,
right.
Are they going to have that experience? If you live and you have to go to Centralia, your parents live there, they work there, you don't have another option. And you love playing football, and now you're thinking, I might not get a chance? Sucks.
I mean, if you're, like, some of these things, when you talk about the idea of this last year having a season pulled out from underneath you, like, you're not going to have time in the short term to figure out where to transfer because nobody's playing, right? But I put myself in the shoes of either a parent of a kid who loves sports and plays sports to the passion that I did, or myself if I were a student. If this was something that would have happened when I was in high school, I immediately would have looked to transfer. Now, I know that's not feasible for everybody. You got to have addresses and that kind of stuff to figure out living in districts. I understand that.
I think it got more. They got more.
It's a little more lax now.
A little more laxed, yeah.
But that would be like if I were a parent and my child loved my son or daughter loved playing sports and they were passionate about it and districts were allowing kids to play and my school district wasn't, I would absolutely help them find a different school to go to. And if I were a student, I would immediately look to transfer out. You're cutting all sports, every single sport for the entire calendar year. Like there's not better ways to save money in the budget. Apparently their interim superintendent came out and said that they used guiding principles when deciding to make cuts, which they again have not voted on yet, but it is on the table. She also added, we have a $5.3 million renewal of our expiring EP&O levy on the ballot for August 4th. That funding would help significantly reduce the fiscal impact on programs and staffing. However, we would still have a substantial deficit for 2020-21 due to other factors such as enrollment projections, state and federal funding matters that are not yet resolved. So she's saying there is something on the ballot for August 4th that would inject $5.3 million into them, but they are running an $11.9 million budget deficit.
Kind of figure that's just what most public schools are dealing with.
Well, they had I think they had last year or the year before, they had a big strike in the district too.
A big teacher strike?
Yeah. So I'm thinking this is more of an isolated case. I don't think this is going to be a trend.
Okay.
So like Chehalis doesn't have a problem because they're just up the highway from Centralia.
Right. Yeah, who is in the Centralia school district? What schools are we talking about?
I don't know. Those are small schools, aren't they?
Not familiar with my Centralia.
Would that be like Toledo, Centralia?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know all the districts that are...
Fircrest? No, Fircrest is a neighborhood in Tacoma. I'm an idiot.
I don't know.
Fircrest? That'd be a cool name.
Sorry,
for
I got family live up there, so. But yeah, it's smaller schools, right?
I think they're 2A high schools.
Yeah. Okay, okay. Well, they also, let me hold on. Where the hell did this article go?
Well, you get, is it Woodland? Woodland, Washington, right? Aren't they in that division? Kelso? Or are they in separate?
No, they're in separate.
Trying to figure out Washington high schools.
Well, you're not talking about a league. You're talking just the school district.
Just the school district, yeah.
It's only the school district.
Well, no, I know. I'm asking if other school districts in the surrounding area, how they operate. How are they operating in the same capacity?
Yeah, so if there weren't strikes, yeah, I'd imagine they'd all hopefully be okay.
Like, is it just Centralia-based problems or other schools within their conferences or what have you? Are they dealing with this stuff too?
So they, here are the changes that they have for the upcoming school year. And again, I can't tell because the reporting has been differing on this. I don't know if these are suggested or if they've actually been voted on. Increase core class sizes, split classes in elementary schools, meaning one teacher will teach two different grade levels. Elimination of band and strings for the sixth grade. You got to have your strings in sixth grade. Come on, man. Elimination of a certified librarian at the high school. No more librarian. Reduced custodial support. No singular dedicated teacher for the highly capable students. Reduced groundskeeping. Reduction in classified intervention support. Elimination of campus monitors. Yes, it's still going. Elimination of district-funded sports with the possibility for the development of an alternate reduce-offering athletics plan. Reduction of co-curricular activities, robotics, drama, and clubs, and development of reduced program structure. So that's where they're at right now in Centralia. Good luck surviving that, man. I don't know if you're playing sports, and if what Swag's saying is true, this is just kind of on them because of the teacher strike last year and their funding is already screwed up.
Could be a one-off.
Dude, if you're any kind of athlete in that school district, get the hell out of there immediately. Yeah, no thanks, Centralia.
Which way you go? You go north or south?
I don't know. You go north or south. You go east and west. I don't care. I'm going anywhere but Centralia.
What a long view.
Well, you can pretty quickly go to Chehalis. And then if you are...
Is Castle Rock far from
there? No, you would go up to Olympia. Mm. You'd go to Tumwater or Olympia
Tumwater.
Yeah. Tumwater fans here.
If you're a football player and you can get into Tumwater, that conveniently every year finds its way to be about six students below the 3A threshold.
Ah, are you calling shenanigans on Tumwater? Are we going to get some angry fan mail?
Look, oh, come on. I respect that move.
Because we called the game last year.
That's just smart.
They came down to Clackamas and took the Cavaliers behind the woodshed in their game. Yeah.
Somebody said most famous alum from Centralia High School is Detlef Schrempf.
That's true.
Detlef went to Centralia?
Yes, I think his parents came over here, or he was foreign exchange or something. Yeah. But yeah, he played high school ball there, and that's how he ended up at UW.
Detlef Schrempf.
With Christian Velp.
Somebody said a lot of districts will be making big cuts. Like, no doubt. Like, the state of Oregon's in a world of pain right now, too.
Well, we were already really bad at budgeting anyway.
It was terrible timing for us with the kicker, man. Like, if you could have had all that kicker money back that you just paid out to every resident of Oregon, that would plug a big part of the hole we're in.
Yeah.
But we all already cashed that check. I'm not giving it back.
Hell no.
Right?
No.
You're going to have to figure out ways. I mean, every state's going to be in that same part. You just hope, like, there's some things that you just hope you can maintain, and one of them being youth sports. Like, taking that opportunity.
I'm going to reach out to the OSAA next week and see if there's anything that they've heard regarding next school year.
Could legalize some things.
Plans.
Create avenues. Let's get creative here.
New revenue streams.
Let me talk about... meth.
Are you talking about gambling on high school football? Because I'm all in. What's the latest, Swagger?
I thought you were talking about Swiss brothels.
Oh, I mean, hey,
you
can
do that too.
You can do your meth and then take it to a Swiss brothel.
Who am I to judge you on wanting to make love to a woman?
You do you, boo. So Centralia School Board, it was reported today that they voted yesterday to cut all sports. That is not true. They did not vote on it yet, but they have had the discussion, and it is being proposed that they cut all athletic programs for the entire school year next year. So there you go. All right, let's take a look inside Swag's dirty bag of plums. Are they actually dirty?
No, they're not.
Dude, they're so raunchy.
So dirty. We'll get to those next on The Fan.
I'm all gravy, baby.
I woke up this morning. Hey, did the NFL ruin a chance for the most exciting play in sports? We still got to get to that today.
Oh,
somebody agrees.
Wow. That one of the McCourty bros was not a fan.
Not a fan of it.
He said it was unfair.
You know what, Brandon? Life's unfair.
You're not wrong.
Somebody said Lyle Overbay is from Centralia. That's a great blast from the past name.
Lyle Overbay.
What's Lyle Overbay up to these days? When did he last play in the bigs?
How unfair was it for Detlef to be playing at Centralia?
2014, man. He had a 14-year career.
Really?
Yeah, he did 151 career home runs. He had a good run there with Milwaukee and Toronto for a couple of years.
Not bad at all.
Dude, absolutely. That was his career high in 22 home runs in 2006 for Toronto, 22 and 92. He had 312 that year, too. That's a hell of a year.
I bet you Detlef was like the Zion of Centralia.
Oh, he had to have just dominated.
It just
right?
was not fair.
Especially if they're 2A.
Yeah.
Detlef Schrempf playing some 2A high school hoops in Centralia.
Like the Chehalis kids were like, ah, damn. What are we going to do?
Speaking of which, I saw earlier today a high school highlight tape of Taco Fall. Have you guys ever seen that?
No,
I haven't seen the...
That dude, seems like a cheat code.
Take a gander at that for a couple of seconds.
Was he 7'2 or whatever?
He's twice as big as everybody that he's playing against.
Isn't he 7'6?
I'm just wondering in high school how much he grew when he went to... Or was he all of 7'5", 7'6 in high school?
I don't think he was quite 7'5", 7'6. He did not have to he had to jump over a phone book to dunk. He's up there. But it looked, and I don't know if you guys, if you watch it, let me know if you agree.
How much skinnier was he, though?
He was skinny as hell.
That's the thing.
It looked like he wasn't even having fun. Like, he was just, because it was just.
He's tall, man. It,
like, imagine playing basketball against a bunch of third graders at your height.
I would enjoy it.
I mean, sure, after a while, but then you're just...
They can't stop me!
You're blocking every shot and dunking
so
every
like
time
this
down.
This is a Sports Center commercial with Stuart Scott and Kenny Mayne.
Yeah, just blocking the hell out of him.
Get that ass out of here! He was just running up and going through the motions, dunking and blocking every shot.
I challenge you to this.
Okay.
Because I've never seen it. Is there any NBA player whose high school tape isn't impressive?
Oh,
that, you know, and there's players like Dame went to Weber, right? But the story really is Weber recruited him first. He came on real strong at the end of his high school career. He's really well known,
but he stayed loyal.
But he stayed. He's a loyal guy, etc. Yeah. Like Steve Nash played at Santa Clara. Is there somebody like that that went to a school of that caliber that
Who
ended up playing
always...
in the NBA and their high school tape was he was good, but you're not like, whoa,
like that's an NBA player.
Yeah.
Well, I remember seeing, I think that was the Central Arkansas film from Scotty before he grew late. Like he was
a team manager at Central Arkansas.
6'1" or 6'2" and skinny as a rail before he grew 6 inches or something.
You know whose high school tape I would be really curious to see is CJ McCollum's, because there's that video that floats around of him playing high school hoops as like a sophomore.
But he looks like he's 12.
He looks like he's in elementary school.
Yeah, CJ hit puberty till.
He hit late, right?
Really late.
But
I'd
be curious to watch those, because once he hit his growth spurt, you know that obviously he was the Scottie Pippen effect, right? Like he was a good hooper and then he had the body to go with it. But like tiny miniature CJ McCollum, I want to see that highlight tape.
That'd be a good one. Well, and then I think the Last Dance, what it did, it reminded you one of Scottie's story, which I didn't know, so that was cool.
Yeah.
And then also the MJ note, right? He doesn't make varsity, only makes JV as a sophomore. And I love the honesty of the coach. He's like, yeah, he was 6'3", or no, he was 5'11", and then he grew 6'3" over the summer.
And
it's like,
and he's on the team.
So like, Mike is great.
Right.
A lot of these guys just benefit from hitting the genetic lottery, too.
Just hitting that height number,
it's
man.
It's kind of just what it is.
No doubts what held me back all these years. All right, let's get to Swag's Bag of Plums.
I'd in D1 if I had been 6'2".
Coach would have put me in, give me a couple more inches.
Oh, listen, I'm jealous
there.
Of my younger brother. He's 6'4 and left-handed.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
What's he do for a living?
He now, I think he's the operations manager. I think that's his current title.
Oh, the board game?
For a landscape outfit.
Oh, there you go. He didn't become a major league left-handed reliever?
No.
Really dropped
the ball. Well,
soccer
was his game.
He was a sport.
Yeah, he was a sweeper there through high school. Lumbering through. He'd take you out, but he didn't. He wasn't as competitive as I was. He's a much better athlete, but didn't have like the I want to rip your head off sort of mentality.
Yeah.
Oh, are you claiming you got the Jordan fire?
He had the passion.
Yeah. Like,
my brother lacked the passion.
The combination of the two
would have been good.
6'4 lefty in the corner, stroking threes in high school. Come on.
Somebody said Damon Stoudemire when he was at Wilson. I was at Franklin. He was slick and definitely going to play after high school, but I wouldn't have guessed NBA.
Yep.
I don't remember Damon. I don't remember. I was a little too young to remember.
I got an up close and personal affair with that.
I usually went the other way, though, when I watched good players. Like, if I went and watched, like, Jefferson in the late 90s, I just assumed they were so good.
I had to go to the NBA.
I would just look at all and like, that's an NBA guy, man.
The most impressive high school player, though, that I saw in person was Terrell Brandon.
Yeah.
TB.
They came. So it was.
He played at Grant, right?
Yeah, he played at Grant. And this was my junior year of high school. So he came. They were supposed to play Roseburg. Mm-hmm. The previous. In the fall season, Grant and Roseburg had a football playoff game, and there were all sorts of unsavory reports of racial stuff going on.
From Roseburg, I'm shocked.
In that game.
Shocking.
So Grant had a non-league game previously scheduled with Roseburg that got scrapped, and we picked them up, and this was the week. So it was winter vacation, but we weren't in school. It was before Christmas. And they came into our gym and just put it on us. He was pulling up at the free throw line, throwing underhand between the leg passes. It was impressive beyond all belief. You're like, oh my goodness, what are we doing here?
I still give my brother a hard time because he was at Cleveland when Aaron Miles was at Jefferson.
Oh,
and it was. He also had. Dude, he was a big deal. Michael Lee, right?
Michael Lee.
Yeah. They both went to Kansas together. Yeah. He was a big deal, and you knew he was going to go to Kansas. Did he ever play in the NBA?
I think he got a sniff.
Yeah, they got a sniff.
But he was playing baseball. Aaron Miles played baseball too. And before a baseball game, my brother went up and asked him for his autograph because he knew he was like one of the top high school basketball recruits in the country, and he's going to Kansas. And they ended up getting to the title game and losing to Melo. But I still give him a hard time about
that. The two best players. I saw Brandon Brooks and Jeff, and look him up, man. Oh my God. And Salim Stoudemire at Lincoln.
You know the one in the listener
Salim
text
was unbelievable.
Yeah. I think the best one that I ever saw in person was Freddie Jones.
Ooh.
Watching Freddie, I remember going to a game when he was at Milwaukee. They were playing at Milwaukee and going to watch him and him throwing him down like tomahawk dunks and stuff. Like
Freddie Jones.
This is high school basketball.
He would regularly embarrass Park Rose. Yeah. It was,
All right.
Let's see. A couple of opening sorts of news. The governor has approved Washington County to open June 1st. So that'll be Monday or enter phase one.
Look at us, Washington County. Huh?
So Washington County.
Excited? That's
nice. I am excited. I need a haircut so bad.
Now, can you open up hair places in phase one?
Hair and nail salons are allowed to open. There's certain protocols they got to put in place. So, yes, I imagine the harem out there at Cedar Hills is going to begin a phone call as soon as they tell me I can book a time.
You got to wear a mask while you get a haircut? What's the protocol there?
I don't know.
Do they wear a mask?
I don't know if it's mandatory from the state or if it's up to the end. I think all the employees have to wear them, but I got no problems throwing one on for 20 minutes to get a haircut.
Yeah, can I just say real quick, whatever your viewpoint, with things opening up now, you want to go in, great. Support local businesses. Can you not be the a-hole that has to make a big deal if you're asked to wear a mask?
Yeah,
just wear it.
Just put the damn thing on or don't show up.
Or don't go in.
Nobody cares
about... It's their business. They can set safety precautions for their employees.
Don't ruin this for all of us.
Just if you don't believe in it, then don't go in. You're not entitled to have to go in there. So.
Yeah, I think out in like Newburgh, restaurants are opening back up again.
Yep.
You can go in there.
And there will be protocols for that too, so we'll see. I got more on that coming up in a second.
Okay.
A-Lane Casino and Resort reopened today up at Ridgefield. And so because even though Clark County is still in a holding pattern, they're on sovereign tribal land, so it's different for them, but... I think they're expecting the county to open up. Other things are opening up. People are coming out and about. So, but they're taking temperatures like right when you go in.
Really?
I think there's a questionnaire, a couple of questions they're asking you. Obviously, they're spacing out the seating, limited capacity in the restaurants, and then they're going to have some of those plexiglass things up at tables I think it's like every other or every third slot machine is available for use, that sort of thing.
Space you out a little bit. Those like blackjack table and poker table ones look kind of weird when they put the plastic down in front of you. But hey, whatever it takes, man.
So that is, they are open. It's National Burger Day. Did you know that it's National Burger Day?
National Burger Day.
Swag, you know how I feel about this. Every day is a national something, and I swear to God, it's been National Burger Day 19 times in 2020.
They really fail you, though, because I never know until it's too late. Like, I already have my chicken marinating for tonight. I'm not going to pivot and make burgers.
Yeah, I got dinner plans.
Right? I'm already ready to go.
Well, there you go.
Well, happy National Burger Day.
Yeah, well, hopefully a lot more
burger
joints are coming open here soon.
There's six more National Burger Days coming in 2020.
I will be eating a burger again soon.
There are plans now because the city, Portland Bureau of Transportation, they started implementing more of those greenway sorts of things. Well, now they're looking at phases, and a lot of cities are doing this as well because there aren't as many cars out on the road, parking spaces, parking lots being used. Trying to find a way because capacity, social distancing, spacing. So there's a lot more going into having outdoor seating, using sidewalks, using parking lots, and allowing them to have outdoor seating like you see more in Europe, bistro style. I think it's a great idea. They got to also have to work with the OLCC. So figure out what the rules are for serving alcohol out there, beer and wine and those sorts of things, because it's not technically on the premises. So there's some stuff, but hopefully they can sort it all out. And I would be all for, I think people are going to be a lot more comfortable initially.
Yeah.
Being outdoors, it's easier to kind of see things being spaced out. Plus, I think it'll help the employees inside, you know, feeling like they can prepare things and get the meals all done and then bring them out. There's some more physical separation.
I don't disagree with you, but what's the reaction to the first person who sneezes or coughs?
Oh, yeah, yeah. At least you're outside. Because imagine outside. If that happens in an indoor restaurant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think if you're well, I think people that are still hesitant about being out in public around people are just not going to do it right away.
It out,
I think if people are going to decide, no, I need to go do this. I need to feel a little bit more normal or whatever and see what it's like. I think they're going to be a little bit more willing to understand stuff's going to happen.
I don't know where I'm at on this. You know,
I think a lot of people are like that.
I've been supporting local business with takeout. I've gotten rid of like the delivery apps. Yeah, I read a thing about that, of the percentage they take from the local business to do that.
No, just call them directly.
Call them directly.
Go
pick it up
on your own. Yeah.
Yeah. Don't be lazy. And I've been doing what I can. But like, I think about this and I'm supportive of opening back up. So I don't want people to misconstrue it. But I still sit there person. I'm like, do I want to go into a restaurant?
I think everybody's in the same boat. We're all willing to take certain risks.
Yeah.
We're all going to be cautious.
Right. But if you knew, you know, there is a restaurant or something, one of your favorite ones in your neighborhood.
There's a couple I really want to go to.
And they were going to get access now. They had a parking lot, so they're going to be able to kind of fence off a chunk of the parking lot, and you could kind of sit out there on the fringes towards the edge. Would you be more likely to go do that?
You do outdoor seating. I am easily more likely to go do that.
Well, and I feel like most reports have said, I'm not an expert on it in any way, shape, or form, that it's safer to be around people when you're outdoors.
They've done studies on this. Now, take it for what it is because there's so much out there. But I read a thing last week about the studies they've done. And there's a couple studies that have supported and proved that people that stayed indoors actually dealt with it worse than the people
that were outdoors,
who were outdoors more often.
And somebody said, I sell to restaurants, go, they've never been cleaner. I don't think the fear is over restaurants.
No,
it's about being around people.
Yeah, other people.
I don't know if I can trust other people that have, I don't want to lose faith in humanity, but like there's so, maybe this is news driven. So it's probably a bit of fear mongering in my mind, but I just don't want to be in a situation where I got to deal with one jackass that thinks he's better than everybody.
Yeah.
He should not have to wear a mask if they, you know what I mean? I just don't want to be in a situation that's weird like that. Plus, my wife works at a clinic, so we can't just go dive into every single thing that opens up and be around a ton of people, because then that puts her at risk of spreading it more to people that are problematic for this.
Yep.
All right, anything else in the bag? Is that
no,
it?
that's kind of it for today.
That was dirty.
Very dirty.
Dude, that was like, yeah, rated R.
We had to bleep like 4 minutes of that segment.
We did. Yeah.
You'll never know. Let me say, today I was at my favorite coffee shop in Salem for the first time. There were about 35 people between indoor and outdoor, and the vibe was good. Another one, as a server, I went my tables and... That one got cut up. I can't tell if he's saying it's dangerous to be outside. But yeah, I saw that report, and especially in Portland, they're trying to figure out ways to make it feasible, and you got so many areas that not a lot of people drive in. Like, I do that. My folks live in Sellwood, so I go through Sellwood every now and then, and I live relatively close to there. But, I mean, you in normal times, you drive through Sellwood, and it's like Manhattan, man. It takes you 20 minutes to go 5 blocks. I can't stand driving through Sellwood. Now you go through those, like, Sellwood, like, go down 13th. There's nobody parked on 13th. There's hardly anybody driving on that road.
Yeah.
It's like, dude. Shut that ass down. Put some tables out there. Let's go. Get people eating out again.
I'll probably give it a week or two. You know, everything sounds great. And again, I'm supporting this. Yeah, who knows? I'll probably find myself out with the wife somewhere eating outside, enjoying a date night or something.
Yeah, everybody's got to go at their different pace. There you go. Swag's Bag of Plums every Thursday at 2:15. Hey, did the NFL miss out on an opportunity to have the most exciting play in all of sports? We'll get to that next. Article in the Baltimore Sun that came out an hour ago, titled "Robert Kraft Sees a Happy Ending for the NFL." Ew. I wonder if that was purposeful or just a coincidence.
I think Robert Kraft knows what he's doing.
He's gonna be happy. Everybody's gonna go home happy. Speaking of the NFL,
just lays it all out there for you, doesn't he?
That he does, man. At the Orchids.
No tabling that discussion.
They have they voted on their new rule changes for the National Football League.
Any big ones out there?
Dude, are these the most boring rule changes we've ever
Highly
had?
Highly disappointing.
So basically, if you've heard Swag's updates, you've heard them. They have made permanent the expansion of automatic replay reviews to include scoring plays and turnovers negated by a foul. They have expended the defenseless player protection to a kickoff or punt returner.
I mean, the kickoff doesn't matter anymore because they kick it at midfield, so who cares?
And then they have also prevented teams from manipulating the game clock at the end with multiple dead fouls. That's the only one. I'm cool with that.
That's that Titan-Patriot one, right?
Yeah, so Belichick did it, and he knew. He said, we won't be able to do
False
this
False start,
year.
Back so him dumb. Up five. Yeah. You keep running the clock. And
you can burn like a
that's
minute and
probably,
a half.
That's probably the most important rule change,
Yeah.
But it's the least sexy of the bunch.
But the two that I was most interested in, one was the Sky Judge, which has been tabled, although I did read later on.
They're going to allow in preseason,
yes,
the on-field crew and the video replay crew to have the ability to talk more if necessary, but it's totally vague. And
yes, and it's not an actual Sky Judge.
No.
But they're going to try it. They're going to test something like that in the preseason.
But it has to be initiated on the field. Like if they're all huddling up and the crew's there and then they can call to the booth. It's like, hey, did you see some word? Yeah.
So that's dumb.
That's just going to slow things down more.
You know, the reasoning too, for not wanting a Sky Judge, it was financial. Do we want to pay a 17th official in every single stadium? Really?
You're the
really
just don't
to get it right.
What do you make? $15 billion a year?
That drove me up a wall yesterday. So the Sky Judge won't happen. Oh, they're going to try some hybrid stupid thing out in the preseason. But yeah, who wants to get officiating right in the NFL? Who needs that? The other one though that we all had our eye on was the change to the onside kick rule. So let me pull up the exact number. Over the last 2 years, which is I believe when the onside kick rule was changed 2 years ago, to the point where you can't overload the side. When teams are needing an onside kick late in a game, you know what they are? There's been 104 attempts in the last 2 years.
Like seven of them or something.
Zero. When needing it at the end of the game, they are 0, according to Pro
Football
Talk. Oh,
so it wasn't a surprise one?
Wasn't a surprise. They are 0 for 104, and they are not going to do the 4th and 15 play, which I would contend would become the most exciting play in all of sports.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Down by 10, Patrick Mahomes with the ball needing 15 yards in an AFC playoff game. Russell Wilson, Niners and Seahawks and Monday Night Football. It's 31-21. Seahawks got to get the onside kick to keep it going. 30 seconds left. They got a timeout, so they got a chance to do it, but you need to convert 15 yards.
I mean, you're not beating a 3-2 count, bases loaded in baseball. You're not beating a walk-off NBA shot.
Well, sure.
I don't even think you're beating a field goal attempt.
Really?
Yeah.
I think if you take this to the NFL.
Fourth and 15 at their own 20. Yeah, yep. Game is on the line. It's the play.
It's the play.
That's bigger than a Super Bowl game-winning kick.
Oh, so of course. No, not the playoff Super game-winning Bowl. Kick. No, not the Super Bowl. Like of a normal sports game.
Yeah, I think it's up there. I'm a big fan of it, but I don't think
not
it's...
Not taking playoffs out of the consideration.
I don't think it's the most exciting play you could have in sports. I think it's close. I think you have an argument for it, but I...
I think just because it's the NFL, it would become that. Like, would be a far bigger deal than, like, Cavs and Raptors with a second on the clock and Pascal Siakam's going to try a game winner.
But does it... Being in the NFL and being the most popular sport, does that truly mean it is the most exciting?
I think this would be fascinating the way it would change.
It would certainly hold your attention more than if you're up. And like you said, if everybody knows that an onside kick is coming at a certain point in a game, you can't convert it.
Well, yeah, but you could also drop your coverage back to fourth and 15 situation. And
I mean, you could. Doesn't
make
mean
it
you're
a
not
little
gonna,
easier to sure. defend it. It doesn't mean you'll stop it per se. And I know the percentages will be different than onside kicking, but
more teams have converted Hail Marys in the last 2 years.
But
than
at least
kicks.
As an offense, you're provide. I mean, as an onside, as a kicking team, because you can't overload. There's only the rules limit to the opportunities that you have. Now, if you take away the ability to fair catch, like you can't fair catch, now you could bring the pooch kick in, but as long as you can make a fair catch,
try and murder a guy.
Well, you're never getting rid of the fair catch. So, that's a concussion thing.
So give me something that at least will hold my attention and create some suspense.
Because you get a game that's a 17-point game late.
No doubt.
There's nothing like you're, unless no. there is an epic collapse where a team
collapse
fumbles, throws
or
a pick six.
Or turnovers.
Right. The only thing there's no chance of coming back. But if you have a good quarterback and fourth and 15 opportunities, you can try two. The rule was you could try two of them in a game. You could have a 3-score game and conceivably score a touchdown, onside kick if you get it, score, you know, like there, it provides you a path forward to come back in a football game.
I'm going from the I love it, but I don't know if I put it in the most exciting. But this is something that once they do it next year, because they will.
I hope so.
Well, they're a progressive league. If they don't do it the first time, it's going to grow support next year.
Yeah, and I would be ultimately okay with them bringing, as a listener pointed out, bringing the overloading one side back. Like, I'd be okay with that, too. I didn't mind the old onside kick. It's a crazy play. You got to kick it right. It bounces wonky.
Man,
like
that was an injury risk thing.
Sure, it was, and that's why they got rid of it. I think when you have this where there's no chance of getting back in the game because you cannot get an onside kick, it ruins the interesting part of the end of football games. But we have a poll question on that. We'll let you know the results on it. What kind of onside kick would you most want to see in the NFL? The current format, the old format, or this fourth and 15 play? We'll also tell you why they were a little scared, apparently, of it this year. And their reasoning, I guess, does make some sense. We'll close up there next on The Fan. The NFL came out with some new rules, none of them very entertaining. The two we were most curious about, not even a rule, but Sky Judge not going to happen, and the 4th and 15 onside kick won't happen. Their reasoning, though, does make sense, because could you imagine the outrage? Their main reasoning is the fear over defensive holding and defensive interference.
Well, I think in those situations, if you have a fear of it, don't give it spot fouls and don't give it automatic first downs. In those situations, give a team 5 yards, redo the play.
Right. Because those are already controversial enough to begin with, defensive holding and pass interference, all that kind of stuff. Of if you got a game or say a team scores with the 40 seconds left and they need, you know, it's a 35-28 and you need that play, you hand them a fluky defensive pass interference call that gives them an automatic first down. And then they continue the drive and they go on to score. Like the outrage would be enormous in that situation.
Well, and I'd be willing to wager the NFL would be highly in the camp of don't blow the whistle. Like, don't blow the whistle unless it's absolutely necessary. It's kind of like reffing in the NBA in the playoffs. Everything gets more physical. People are able to hold people a little bit, able to kind of check them on the baseline when they're running through screens. You get away with that in the playoffs, not the regular season. I would imagine in these instances, because you're only allowed two attempts, refs would be told, hey, unless it's a clear as day, don't blow the whistle.
Right, right. It has to be a pretty obvious foul. A couple of thoughts here at the fan text line. Somebody said, what happens about the halftime surprise onside kick like New Orleans versus Indy in the Super Bowl? I think you would still be able to pull one of those off because that wasn't a traditional onside kick, right? I mean, they lined up in a normal kicking formation and they just, you know, booted it 10 yards and they fell on it. I still think that kind of stuff would apply if you wanted to try and pull it off. Another one, an onside kick is 99% lucky bounce. At least the 4th and 15 scenario depends on actual skill rather than a gimmick. One other one, my issue with the new onside kick is if you don't convert an actual onside kick, the receiving team gets the ball at about midfield. With the new rule, if you don't convert, the receiving team gets the ball possibly at the 25-yard line or whatever. That is a huge difference in field position. I understand that argument as well. I think the counter argument would be, what has a higher success rate, getting 15 yards on a play or getting an onside kick? I think they want it to be a deterrent to doing it more often.
Fourth and 15 would, right?
I would totally, right? Especially if you have a better quarterback or a guy that can scramble. Like, just put Russell Wilson in that
Lamar
situation.
Lamar Jackson.
Right, exactly. So that has a much higher chance, I think, than not. So I think that's the reasoning for the yard line dispute. Also, if they pick it up and you gain 20 yards, you then have it at the 45 instead of gaining 20 yards and you have it already in field goal range, for example. So I think that's the reasoning there. And I get the lucky bounce thing. There's no doubt. But one, I think it was a Jason McCourty or Devin McCourty, one of the twins, said he didn't like it because it was unfair to the team that had the lead.
My favorite was always watching kickers attempt the onside and then commentators telling you whether or not they've heard if they're good at onside kicking. And then almost always the other team just getting the ball anyway. Right. Doesn't matter. You really need, I mean, you can kick it a different way. You can lay it on the ground. You can stand it up with the laces in or out. It really is as simple as, oh, it took a weird hop.
Yeah. Did it deflect off a guy's hand up in the air? Did it hit off of a knee pad or something like that? It's funny, too. Like, everybody has a different feeling about onside kicks because we've all either been blessed or burned by them. You know what I mean? Like, imagine Seahawk fan and their feeling with getting that onside kick in the NFC title game against Green Bay. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Or Oregon fan against Oklahoma when they didn't actually recover it, but they did recover it and they ended up winning the game because of it. Right? Like, everybody has a different feeling about onside kicks.
Well, what was your... Here's my favorite. My favorite hasn't gone away. There's two onside kicks. You used to get, when you didn't matter if people got hurt, just an all-out... just blowing the line up and hoping that you create chaos. I've always kind of been pretty partial to the pop-up. If you can eliminate fair catching, I love the pop-up scenario because if you get high enough, those dudes can run 10 yards and suddenly it's kind of in the air of like, who's really going to get this one?
It becomes a jump ball situation.
It really does,
It's just high up there in the air. Yeah, the it used to be a dangerous play. I get why they wanted to get it out of the game a little bit. But we'll see. Maybe they do this down the road, fourth and 15 situation, and they give you a play. The whole McCourty, it benefits the losing team. I still don't quite agree with that. You have to get a fourth and 15.
Deep in your own territory.
And if you don't, then the game is literally over because you're handing them the ball in field goal range at least.
This rule will be in place next year.
You think so? They'll give one more year and then they'll put it in place?
I think they'll do one more. They'll have another season of failed onside kick attempts. Nobody caring. Nobody feeling like they have a chance to get the ball. And it will lead to some owners complaining and saying, hey, remember that idea? And maybe a couple coaches throwing that idea out during the season, and they'll absolutely pick this up next year.
Let's battle through some poll questions. Your guys' votes are welcome. What is the best way for the NFL to handle onside kicks? I make you the commissioner. What format do you go with? Current format, the old format where you could load up a side, or the 4th and 15 from the 25?
4th and 15. Give me the offense.
That's the one you want. Listeners said 41% said 4th and 15 from the 25. 21% voted for the current format. To which I would ask, why?
Because if their team has been up, they know there's no chance of a comeback.
Their team's always winning, so they don't want to give the other team a chance to get back in the game. Who do you blame most for the current financial struggle between Major League Baseball players and owners to bring it back? Owners, players, both equally, or ooh. I don't care.
Oh, well, I hate when you do this. This is one of my pet peeves of you as a co-host, is you put the I don't care option, and people want to say I don't care.
I don't care.
But I'm going to take that option away. I am absolutely pointing at the owners. You agreed to a deal, man, and you can't play stupid like you didn't know a pandemic was about to unravel given where you were when you agreed to it. The players are going to give in to some extent if they're going to want a season. but I would lean owners for sure.
43% of listeners are blaming the owners. 26% say they don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe that.
Probably a crowd that says, just shut up and figure this out already. We're tired of it.
Which, hey, I love baseball, and there's part of me that's in that same mindset as well. Like, I don't want to talk about it or hear about it. Figure it out.
It's a great question I saw asked on a different radio show out of state. What league, if you could only pick one going into the fall, what league would you want back? MLS, NHL, NBA playoffs, MLB.
For me, it would be Major League Baseball because you get more of a season. Now, it would suck to not have a Stanley Cup champion or an NBA champion, but that is a finite amount of time, right? Like, you're going to come back, play a couple of regular season games, turn whatever, and the NBA hockey's going to kind of jump right into it. So you just get that in the postseason, which are both great, and they'd be fun to watch. But at least with baseball, I know I'm getting a full, not a full, but 82 games long, and it's going to drag me out all the way until football season. Should the Seahawks sign Antonio Brown? 67% of people say no, they should not.
Well, if they do, we'll see if that changes in a year.
I think I saw a highlight video of him working out, too. It looked like he was wearing Raider pants and a Steeler helmet.
Yeah, that's about him.
You kind of you mix and match it
up. He's already, I mean, he's been on Pittsburgh radio a couple times. He's openly, he's talked about how much he regrets leaving and he apologizes. And
that's one guy that realized the grass isn't greener on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
And last but not least, poll question, are vanity plates douchey? Sprague made fun of all of you with vanity plates today.
See, another thing. That is not what I said.
65% of listeners say yes, they are douchey.
I think if you put your last name for no reason, you just got like a white Honda Accord and your last name's on, what are you doing that for? You go funny. I'm into the nicknames and the sexual reference, the innuendos.
We had a guy named Rob tweet us. He had a license plate cover that said how to party at the bottom, and it's a California plate, and the vanity plate was nose. So it reads, California knows how to party.
That's creative. At least you went creative with a vanity plate.
That was creative. Hey, if you missed any of the show today, catch it. Les Drop Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We had Corey Brock on to talk some baseball. And then Akili Smith, former Oregon quarterback, joined us as well. Good conversation with him about where he's at and what he's doing with his life right now. So go catch him. We'll tweet him out at Dirt and Spray again at 1080thefan. Enjoy that heat. Enjoy the sunshine. Thank you for being a part of our Thursday. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one's next, listening to 1080 The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.